to the Ayerbe farmhouse again. I'm in the dining room. Many of you, hundreds of you perhaps, have eaten meals down here in our dining room. But we haven't had any meals here in over a year because of COVID. Hopefully in the coming months, maybe this coming fall, we'll have some more activities here and be able to eat again. Okay, well today I would like to read a verse from Deuteronomy, make reference to a verse in Genesis 15:5, where God tells Abram to count the stars, if he can, and believe them. But I'd like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible says, "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." Okay, so we don't read the whole passage here, but God's saying, be careful. Be careful that you not look up to that heavenly masterpiece that I have up there and worship it. So, let's think about this a little bit. There are over 1,000 places on the globe labeled as World Heritage Sites. They can be natural or man-made. And they're so designated because either the cultural or the physical significance of each of those places. The basic idea is that they be protected and preserved so that humanity, that's us, can enjoy them in as pristine a condition as possible and for as long as possible. That's the idea behind it. Now, there are none in outer space, at least not yet. When God spoke the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence, one fact was automatically established. They were not Him. They were separate entities by all rational thinking. No creation can occupy the same space as its creator. Now, though the first two heavenly bodies had specific responsibilities, you know, the sun and the moon, the rest did not. And as we come to read there in Genesis 1, when we read how they came to be, a shocking truth becomes obvious. That huge expanse, teeming with what seems to us an infinite variety of objects, all of which completely dwarf the earth, was added to the scene with one tiny little phrase. And he made the stars too. Something like that. The sense of ease with which it all occurred should draw a gasp all by itself. But when the implications begin to sink in, why, our minds simply reel in wonder. And that's exactly what God wanted, at least as a first step. So that's in chapter 1 of Genesis. The next mention of this great miracle that we have on top of us comes in the Lord's command to Abram, there in Genesis chapter 15, where he told him to gaze up at them in obedient worship and adoration, to count them and to never forget his power and his wisdom, that he can do whatever he says he will do. Abram was to count the stars and believe in the God behind them. Sadly, though, the attitude of mankind towards the stars and planets has mostly been perverse. By the time Deuteronomy was written, the scene was already pretty ugly. The nations had looked up and they were amazed at what they saw. But their depraved hearts refused to discern, to think. They would not use common sense to look past the gifts to the giver. Instead, they stopped at the first level and they started building altars, they started sewing robes and compiling rituals and ceremonies. They decided to adore what had been made instead of the maker. The sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. Forget about the God who made it all. This verse that we read in Deuteronomy 4 describes the heavens as a universal, global heritage. Something God has divided out for the benefit of every person. He has wrapped it all the way around the planet so that every country can see a portion of it. The constellations are free. Anybody can admire them on a clear night, of course. And nobody is taxed for staring at them or enjoying their beauty. However, usually we rush around too much to pay this kind of attention. And we don't relish the privilege that we have to admire it. What a shame. Because a few minutes of serious contemplation will go a long way towards bringing the closer matters into better focus. Our things, our accomplishments, our goals will all seem a lot smaller and not quite so impressive. And that's a good thing. So there are two entirely different errors man can fall into concerning the heavens. The second one is more of an issue for the believer. The first one is that man look up and start worshiping what he sees. The second, which is more for God's children, of course, hardly looks up at all and doesn't even consider or appreciate what he has given. Next time you have a clear night and you're able to see the stars, thank the Lord for them. Worship Him for that beauty that He has put above us to enjoy, to watch, to admire. It is a work of art, a celestial masterpiece. And then remember what God told Abram to do with it. Look up, think, and believe in the God who has such incredible wisdom and power. What a lesson. How important that we learn to obey. Let's pray. Dear Father, I am very inclined to look at life as revolving around my schedule and my goals. Thank you for placing over my head a majestic reminder that I and everything I ever do are mere specks in your world. Their only significance comes as they relate to your will. Amen.